Let's away now to the 18th century and Babblewick Hall. A future as a distinguished parliamentarian beckons Fenton Babblewick to London.
We present Babblewick Hall by Scott Cherry, starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson.
Honourable gentlemen, I stand before you as the newly elected Member of Parliament for Yorkshire. My aim, gentlemen, as I get to my feet in this esteemed house, is simple. I intend to set the Commons ablaze. I will inflame you as I describe the greatest threat our people have faced since the Spanish Armada. And, honourable sirs, this assault comes from that most arrogant of individuals, Dr. Samuel Johnson, and his Dictionary of the English Language. I will show this house...
What are you doing in the coaching?
I will show this house how that dictionary threatens the most sacred of all English freedoms, the right to spell as we please.
We must go, sir.
I tell you all.
The straw wagon's waiting.
I tell you all.
Sir, please.
Augustus, I told you never to interrupt when I am culminating.
Well, can't you culminate in the wagon?
No, I cannot. Now, wait outside.
But, Squire, what's the point in rehearsing if it makes us late? If we're to be in London for the opening of Parliament, we must make Sheffield by nightfall.
I know.
The stage goes at 3. We must leave now.
But there's little point in my going to Westminster, Augustus, if I'm unable to make a staggeringly good impression with my maiden speech.
Ah,
you shouldn't have interrupted.
I'm sorry.
Barging in like that when I was just starting to get involved.
I apologize.
It's about to climax.
I'll go and wait.
No. Now you're here, you can give me your opinion on my speech.
I beg your pardon?
Well, in order to make my mark in politics as the greatest orator the Commons has ever seen, I've been studying this book.
What is it?
Hubert Lemming's Rigorous Exercises in Pronunciation, Pauses, Inflections, and Emphases.
Oh, dear.
Jack! Has Barney got all my cases on the wagon?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd better go. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Squire.
You mustn't worry, sir. Rest assured, I'll keep the horses combed and fed, all right?
I'm sure.
And I won't be lording it over the estate while you're away, drinking your cellar dry. I won't go anywhere near the ale or the brandy. I won't so much as touch the muck beer and wine.
Well,
I promise. Your claret and porter's perfectly safe. That cellar's staying locked.
I'm glad to hear it, Jack.
Oh, Squire.
Yes.
I was going to cut you some of my candied sweetbreads, you know, for the journey.
Oh, Molly.
Because I know how you like nibbling your sweetbreads.
Yes.
Squire.
But I've run out of caraway seeds.
Oh, no.
So I've baked you some raspberry cakes instead.
Oh, dear lady. Molly, that's so kind. Thank you.
The wagon's moving.
Oh, you better go, sir.
Yes, I must. Well, goodbye to you, my dear devoted servant.
Goodbye, Squire.
And remember, visit Dribb's Ale House every day to hear the papers read.
Why?
To learn of my achievements as I make my ripple in the giant pond of politics.
Hurry!
Goodbye!
You take care now, sir. Just to make sure the coaches keep to the good roads.
There's that many robbers and murderers about.
Let's hope he makes his ripple in the giant pond of politics, then sinks like a stone.
Where are you going?
Down the cellar to get myself totally and utterly obliterated.
Honourable gentlemen, I stand before you as the newly elected Member of Parliament for Yorkshire. My aim, gentlemen, as I get to my feet in this esteemed house, sir, please.
What? Please. We've been travelling an hour and you've recited your speech no less than 25 times.
What of it?
You're beginning to upset the horse.
Oh, I see. Well, I do apologise. How thoughtless of
you. If we could just have a little silence, Squire, at least till the next milestone. Oh, I'm sorry. Have I upset you? Squire?
You just don't realize, do you, Augustus?
Mm-hmm.
Or you just refuse to accept that this is the
golden opportunity I've always prayed for.
If I perform well, if I reveal to my fellow members the rampant fertility of my mind, mm-hmm. just think of a patronage I'll excite. Yeah. I'll be courted on all sides. Oh, yeah. Made a Secretary of State, seen as a future Prime Minister.
Yes, well.
So the least you can do is to give me your support and encouragement.
I have been giving you my support and encouragement.
No, you haven't. All you've done is sit there and whimper.
Whimper? I'm worrying about whether it'll rain and ruin your hair.
But I don't want my hair ruined.
I've used the last of the powder.
It's not important, Augustus.
Well, it is to me.
But not to the nation. Aren't you at all excited by what I might achieve? Have you no interest in the wealth of my ideas?
What ideas?
I'm sorry.
What are these ideas with which you hope to dazzle and astound?
Well,
I fail to see how banning Dr. Johnson's dictionary will assure you a place in the history books as a radical reformer and champion of the people.
What do you say?
Stop it! Stop the wagon!
Augustus, are you saying that you don't like my speech? Are you?
I'm your valet de chambre, sir. It's not my place to express opinions.
You're always expressing opinions. Speak that.
Very well.
If you intend making that address in the Commons, you may just as well enter in cap and bells and declare yourself the House Jester. You could do no worse, sir, than to bounce up to the great William Pitt in nothing but your linen underdrawers and grin yourself to death. In short, deliver that speech and you deliver yourself up to be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, declared insane, and prescribed that most perishing of all cures, surprise bathing.
So, you don't like my speech? Very well. In that case, I shall dispose of it.
No, no,
no, no, no, no, no, Augustus, there's absolutely no point in me keeping it, none at all, now that you've completely demolished my confidence.
No, 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 sir, sir.
I shall have to compose another, something which I can only hope will go some way to meeting your lofty standards. There. It's gone.
But satisfied. Sir, you spent weeks composing it. You can't just throw it away.
You should have thought of that before opening your mouth.
What else would you speak about?
Oh, I'll find another subject, see. The causes of criminality.
What do you know about the causes of criminality?
If you must know, I've just received some fascinating correspondence here from the vegetarian dissenters of Hackney.
What?
Driver!
I don't know, Augustus. I've quite ruined you with familiarity. You're nothing more than a servant, idiot. I give you the regard of a superior.
You don't.
I tell you now, when we get the coach from Sheffield, you'll be riding on the roof.
What?
With the other servant.
Never!
In that case, you can cling to the football.
But Squire, I'll cling to my dress code.
I don't care.
I'll scuff my shoes.
Good.
And what if it rains? My hair.
Yes, sir.
Augustus, there you are.
Sir.
Come on, man, we're waiting.
I'm not going.
What?
I'm sorry, but I won't travel on the roof. I've looked at the coach. It's strapped, not sprung, and there's not even a rail to cling to.
And have you seen the state of the road? I'll be hurled to my death.
You can visit it on your own. Abandon me here.
Augustus.
I'll walk the streets of Sheffield and beg work from some merciful cutler, polishing spoons.
Why are you trying to do this?
What?
Thwart me.
I'm not.
I thought you wanted to return to London to escape the barbarism of the North.
I do.
Then what in the devil's name is the matter with you?
Well, what? I hate to travel, Squire. I always have and I always will. I hate all the discomfort and annoyance. And worst of all,
yes?
I hate the people. Just look at them all, sir. Breeders to the man of the king's evil and the pox. And all displaying such crude impertinence. Take that vulgar-looking oaf. The one in the snail-back wig, reeking of vulgarity. Laughing in public? Does he take himself for a monkey? Oh, and now he's openly sneezing and clearing his collar of the dandruff. Hell itself must be a common highway.
Augustus.
I ask you, could anything be more successful in facilitating my own vomit than the monstrous and scrofulous society of men?
Then you won't want to travel with Mr. Madison and his wife?
Oh, yes, please. Anything to sit in comfort. Providing they display a modicum of breeding and don't whistle. They can come from Birmingham, for all I care.
They do come from Birmingham.
What?
Or rather, what Mr. Madison calls the leafy borough of Wolverhampton.
You mean, he's a merchant?
Worse.
Oh,
god, not a manufacturer.
Exactly.
With that dreadful way of speaking. In fact, Mr. Madison is the vulgar oaf with the snailback wig and dandruff.
Mr. Vanawick?
No.
Hurry, hurry, Mr. Vanawick, they're ringing the bell. We mustn't keep the wife waiting. I think I told you, did I not, sir? I'm sure she is on patience.
No, no, no.
Oh, yes. Come on, sir. Throw your footman on top of the cases and let's get going.
August?
Dear God.
It's not that we're unreasonable people, is it, Clarissa?
Oh, no, we're not unreasonable.
I'm sure you're not. It's just we do know our place in the scheme of things.
I see.
And to be direct, asking us to share a coach with this man here.
Are you referring to me?
Who is, might I say, putting it bluntly, a mere servant.
Yes, oh, indeed.
Asking us to give up footroom for the sake of a footman. When you consider that I happen to be Charles Spencer Madison, manufacturer of Madison's metallic pens, the man who single-handedly seeks to rid our country of the quill, asking me to share with an inferior is, dare I say it, an imposition.
Clarissa, quite right.
I see. Yes, well, perhaps you might feel a little happier if he promises not to speak for the duration of the journey.
Well, I
Augustus?
Nothing would give me greater pleasure, sir.
Good. Although I have to tell Mr. Madison that I am not a fit for him. At least I am a valet de chambre. Augustus, otherwise known as a gentleman's gentleman.
That's enough.
Shake.
We are free to converse, sir.
It's just I like to say obedience in the servile class, Mr. Bellboy.
Of course.
When Clarissa and I retire to the country, we are going to have all manner of servants, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
In livery.
I'm going to dress them all in yellow gingham, orange and white bonnets, and red casting gloves.
Lovely.
Embroidered with the letter M.
For morons.
What did he say?
Nothing. And you say you're retiring to the country?
Yes, it's the country life for me. I want to jump a five-barred gate in pursuit of a fox, cart in deer and shoot the buggers, leave my darling Clarissa to more gentle occupation.
Playing my spinet.
She's desperate for a spinet.
I like singing, you see.
I see.
My love.
Little nightingale, singing all the field.
Voice of an angel.
Blowing all the tree. See my little bird. Little nightingale.
Right, that's it. I'm going on the roof.
Hey,
shut the door behind me, square.
Such shake.
He should have gone there in the first place. I hate long journeys.
He hates long journeys, Mr. Babberwick.
Yes, I see.
I get so... Well, the trouble is, I don't think I've got anything else to talk about. I think I've covered all the subjects, haven't I, dear?
I think so.
The way things are going, I'm going to have to let Mr. Babberwick contribute to the conversation.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact,
let's
I was
see. Now, let's see. I've discussed at length why I hate all foreigners, why I'm partial to cowslip wine, how glad I am the Cornish language has been pronounced extinct. Well, what else can I expand on?
Perhaps I should sing again?
Don't you dare!
Say something!
Yes, all right. Mr. Bellwick, I hope you don't mind my saying, but you have got to watch that footman of yours.
I'm not a footman!
The rascal's got no sense of place, you know.
Not at all.
He's deceived with mutiny and disaffection. You only have to look at his clothes.
Since when a footman won't go trim?
I have never seen so many skirts on a coat.
Is it a mole on his chin? Or a small patch?
A small patch.
Oh,
perfumed. That is one of the reasons this country's going downhill. Because the lower sort, folk like your footmen, are losing all sense of subordination. Give it a few years, there'll be no distinction of persons.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Madison, but I have to say...
But
please forgive me, but I have to say I find such views thoroughly objectionable.
What?
And I would ask you, sir, if you would be so kind to keep such complacent opinions to yourself.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but you have to be quite candid. You bellow on about England losing all distinction of persons, but where would you be if our society wasn't on the shift, eh?
Well,
no doubt doing what your father did, dung spreading or weeding.
Weeding?
You tell me, ma'am, did your mother ever dream of having servants?
Excuse me.
They were too busy mending buckets.
Excuse me. Look, I resent that slander on my family's good name. My father, God rest his weary soul, never ever spent so much as one working day spreading dung. If you must know, he enjoyed a substantial reputation as an eminent weaver of sand.
quiet.
And what do you think you're doing?
Get back on that roof, man.
What's happening?
What's stopping, sir? Why?
Is it a turnpike?
No. It's a highwayman.
Stop your screaming! One round to Busport. Deliver your money.
Oh, God.
Deliver your money or I'll shoot.
Oh, no, no, no.
You, sir, give me your wig and rings.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. Willingly. Willingly.
You, my lady, give me your jewels.
Yes, please.
And you, sir, hand over your guineas.
Yes.
Hand over your guineas.
No.
What? Who really is Esquire?
I refuse.
You what?
My name is Fenton Babblewick, and as recently elected Member of Parliament for this county, I implore you to put down that pistol this instant.
Do you now?
Lay it down.
You want to die, do you?
You won't shoot me.
No, won't I?
Not when you discover what I'm about to do for you and every other thieving wretch.
What?
How I intend battling single-handedly to rid prisons of Titus.
Eh?
And campaign till the day I die to abolish hanging.
Oh, God, he's a radical.
Level your pistol at me. And you level your pistol at villainy's greatest friend, which is why you won't, nay, can't pull that trigger.
Are you a lunatic?
Yes, he is.
Oh, Mr.
Levinson is
getting in!
Oh, sir, don't murder us, please!
Just do the instructions, Squire.
Listen, Mr. Bubblelick, or whatever you name yourself. Hand over your money, or I'll blast your brains out.
Do as he says, Mr. Babwick. You know our bloodstains.
You poor, poor man.
What?
I know why you're committing this atrocity, and believe me, I realize you're not to blame.
Now, look here.
Just answer me one question.
Please, Squire.
What did you eat for your breakfast this morning?
What?
What? Oh, God help us.
What did you have for your breakfast?
Why are you asking him that?
Be quiet, Augustus.
You are a lunatic.
He's witless. Ignore him. I beseech you.
Did you have any bacon this morning? Well, did you?
Well, what if I did?
Just as I thought.
I had a sixpenny breakfast at Mansfield Swan, a flitcher bacon with the...
With what?
A little beef broth.
A little beef broth. You pitiable rogue, Squire. Listen to me, you craven wretch. You don't really want my guineas or my Thomas Mudge watch.
You've got a Thomas Mudge watch.
You don't really want this lady's ring or this gentleman's braided wig box. Don't you realise you're being driven to commit this outrage? Driven, man, by meat.
What? He's lost it.
Rioters, meat, be it bacon or broth, contaminating and goading you into villainy.
Ah, I see.
Now, sir, consider this letter. Addressed to me from the vegetarian dissenters of Hackney.
Oh.
Read this and you will see quite clearly how meat-eating causes all crime.
You want me to read this letter?
If you would.
I can't read it.
Well, it's very, very interesting,
why? Yeah, isn't it?
But I wonder if I might ask you, sir, to consider this.
What?
You can humour Jack Raven.
It's all right, Squire.
Oh, where am I? What happened?
I think you know what happened.
Oh, my head.
The highwayman rendered you senseless, then threw us from the coach.
Did he rob me?
Of course he robbed you. What did you think he was going to do, Skip gaily off in search of mushrooms and mulberries? He's robbed us blind, Squire. Deserted us in the middle of God knows where. He took our money, our wigs, your watch, my spangled waistcoat, Molly's raspberry cakes. He even searched our mouths for artificial teeth.
Oh.
And before he left, he blazed his other pistol and both of the horses.
Oh.
Well, at least they took the dreaded Madisons with them. Well, don't just sit there, Squire. Say something.
Do I know you?
What?
Well, damn it, man. Well, damn it, I have to say you do strike me as somewhat familiar.
Familiar?
Are you that basket maker I met in Chipping Sawbury, the one with the dog that could skip backwards?
Squire?
Oh, good, sir. You say I was travelling in a coach.
Oh, no.
Could you tell me where I was travelling to before the highwayman you mentioned rendered me senseless?
Sir, not only has he rendered you senseless, but he seems to have deprived you of all memory. Your name, Squire, what is it? Can you tell me?
Well, sir, I have to say just a question. Smacks of impertinence, but no matter. My name is... Oh, God.
Oh.
I don't know my name.
Oh.
Who am I? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Tell me.
Don't be distressed, Squire. I have the cure right here.
You want me to swallow a piece of wood?
No. They say if a knock to the head has robbed you of memory, there's only one thing that can restore it.
Oh, no.
Stand still. Let me strike you.
No.
Oh, be brave, sir, for once in your life.
Please, don't hurt me.
I'll try not to.
Well, come on, man.
Right.
That was pathetic.
I'm sorry. I just didn't want to hurt you. Look, I'll try again.
Oh,
Squire! Squire, are you all right?
Oh.
Are you all right?
Augustus. Augustus, why does my head hurt?
Sir, you're cured!
What do you mean?
There's a house, sir. The other side of the river. Let's see if we can get across.
Oh.
I have to say, it astounds me.
Augustus did.
That we should jump into this boat.
Please.
Push ourselves off. And neglect to see that there were no oars.
You can't blame me. I was still stunned by the quite unnecessary ferocity of your blow.
I had to recover your memory, Squire.
You didn't have to smile while you were doing it.
I should have known this was going to happen.
What do you mean?
Well, this is yet another glaring failure to add to your growing catalogue, if I may say so.
You may not.
Oh, you couldn't hire a chaise so that we could get to London in 2 days.
Oh, no. We had to go by stagecoach with those hucksters from hell, the Madisons.
Oh, little nightingale.
Don't. Then we're waylaid by a highwayman. And rather than hand over your guineas, you ask him to lay down his pistol and pick up a leak.
Well, at least it's not raining.
No, one thing's for sure. We won't get to London.
Of course we will.
We won't. I'll never see Drury Lane again. Never take snuff with my friend Quentin Hedge. Or dear old Freddie Flighty.
Augustus.
I'll never hear such invigorating street cries as Flummery! Flummery! Buy my Flummery! Or know the fluttering thrill of another midnight stroll down Blackboy Alley. Augustus, you seem to be in some discomfort, Squire. Is your head still bleeding?
I'm afraid I'm in urgent need of my night stool.
What?
I want my travel potty.
Oh, well, do you know, sir? Well, I'm sorry, I really am. But it's been stolen, along with all our other possessions. In fact, that's the one thing Jack Raven's welcome to. Because one thing I won't miss, Squire, is having to cope with the continuous hurry of your bowels.
I just need to fiddle. It must be the sound of a rushing water.
Oh, wait till we hit... What do you mean, rushing water?
Well, can't you hear it?
Oh, my God, we're heading for a weir.
What?
Paddle, son, paddle.
I want to paddle.
Paddle with your hands. Come on, faster. I'm going as fast as I can. We're going to have to jump.
It's not just I'm starving, soaked to the skin. It's that I'm slowly being frozen to death by this fog. I can't see a damn thing. Augustus, where are you?
Here.
Oh, well, at least we didn't drown.
Well, I think more water's coming up from my stomach.
Oh, spirit, Squire, spirit. You must, before any contagion takes hold. Oh, good God, you've swallowed the whole river. Oh, well, all I can say is keep me away from a looking glass. Because I can't think of what I must look like. I was up at the crack of dawn this morning. I spent 2 hours on my hair alone.
Are we going to die, Augustus?
It might be for the best.
Wait, what? Yes, I think I can see a light. Well, there, through the mist. See?
It's an illusion. Oh,
we better go and look.
Oh,
if it's a farmhouse, we can get dry, sir. Dry and warm. And we can get food.
We've no money.
Then you can write a bill of credit. Up, Squire, up. Come on.
No, I just want to stay here. We shiver to death.
Take my hand.
No.
Sir, please. I'm about to die of the pneumonia.
I don't deserve to live. You're absolutely right, Augustus. My life is one endless catalogue of tragedy and disaster. Everything I do, Augustus, is doomed. I can't even perform a journey to London. I'm going to throw myself into the river.
No!
Yes. I'm nothing more than a lamentable imbecile, and I deserve to die.
You might be lamentable, sir, but you're not an imbecile.
Arthur,
listen to me, Squire. You will get to London, and you will make your mark as the greatest orator the Commons has ever seen. I promise you. I know it.
You really think so?
What you have to realize, Squire, is that you are a city man. What's brought about this complete demoralization of spirits is the rural life. The insidious, drowsy country air. It's turning you into a cabbage. What you need is the nip and bite of London.
Then you really think I can dazzle and astound Westminster with the wealth of my ideas?
Absolutely. Now, let's get up, sir, and try the door of that house. Up we get, Squire. There we are. We'd better hold hands, sir, so that we don't lose each other in the fog.
What is it?
Taking your hand.
Augustus, you're my servant. You can't just take my hand.
No, of course not.
You lost your senses?
I'm so sorry.
I shall take your hand.
Of course.
Where did you see a light?
That way.
Matters could be worse, I suppose.
Could they?
Could be raining.
Come on, sir. Please, this way, sir. Come on, this way.
Well, as I was, and a little tiny boy, was a hay of the wind.
Oh, yes, sir. Here's the door. Civilization at last.
Well, knock it. Knock it, man. Knock it.
Right. We'll soon be in the barn, Squire. Yeah. They're bound to offer us food and lodging.
And then we'll to London, yes?
Yes. A cart to the next town, and then a coach to Piccadilly.
I must write my new speech, Augustus, immediately.
Of course. Someone's at home.
I'll be making my mark as a future Prime Minister.
Whilst I'm cutting a figure at the cocoa tree, drinking tea and wearing the very latest in French silk. Hello. We're so sorry to... Oh, Augustus, what's wrong?
Oh, no. Is that you, Mr. Snipe?
What?
No, is it, Jack? Squire. Squire, it's you. Why are you back so early?
Babblewick Hall starred Nicholas de Prevost as
Fenton Babblewick
and Bob Masson as
Augustus.
With Sam Kelly, Gillian Bevan, John Badley, Sarah Coward, and Stephen Critchlow. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. Babblewick Hall is written by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.